one of the best performing stocks of the year right now is NVIDIA. Best performing stock of the year.
It's one of my babies.
Right. Best performing stock of the year. I've been had it for a while. Right, options and in my regular portfolio, it has been.
Remember when we bought that? We bought that the same day.
Yep. And it has been a baby for us, right? So NVIDIA, again, a company, you know, scalable growth and sustainable growth, relatable growth are two things we should be looking for when we're looking at business, y'all. Like, so you, when you buying businesses, asking yourself, like, Trap, what is in? Trap, what is this a good stock? Is this a good business? Ask yourself, do you see growth in the business? One, does this have pricing power? Can the business increase in prices no matter what, right? Can the business create a new industry or sector within itself no matter what, right? Businesses that can do that have scalable growth. This is some of the things that we look for, right? So, you know, and I ain't trying to talk over nobody here. This is just things that we should understand as investors, yo. This is a game that has so many layers to it. Right. And it's so many layers and it's so many points of entry that we can get into. We get stuck on one thing, two things we get stuck on as investors that often kill everybody: name and price. Right. The name of the stock and then how much it is. It's the two things that kills most investors.
And great, that matters the least.
Yeah. That, and those are the two things that doesn't even matter to somebody like me, somebody like Ian, you know, and everybody else who become like, name and price don't matter. Right. So if you took the performance of a stock, if you took the name off it, right, then and you took the price off it and you just look at what's underneath the cover. Right. That should be the determining factor on why you're buying a business, not because the TV is pushing it, not because you think the price is too high or too low. Often we look at businesses. And one of the things that I teach my people is simply this, man, when we're looking at a business, we want to see how can it perform in the future. Like, what can it earn in the future? And we're going to base that off past things that it's already done. We're going to be conservative in our approach and setting price points. And then that's how we move forward, y'all.
The number one indicator that you guys need to focus on is actually time in the market. That's why, like, you never hear anyone with a lot of money. And I asked Trap this, I asked Troy Rashad. For all the people that you interviewed to the millionaires, how many of them have brought up RSI with a 200-day moving average? Shit don't matter. Like, when I've talked to people that run funds, that's the last thing that matters. I'm gonna be real, like, most people are not able to beat us because I know you're not willing to hold a stock for a long enough period. Like, even when, like, Xander's teachers ask him, like, what does your dad do? He's like, he owns part of Apple and Microsoft. He don't even say Red Panda. He owns part of Apple and Microsoft. The look is different, but I've drilled in him, me owning a bunch of great companies is more important than even you putting a focus on this first. So if you can hold for a 10, 15, 20 year period, the generational hold is really the blueprint. You should go Google how long a generation is. And then once you do that and extrapolate in the tech sector for an A quality stock, how long it lasts, you already have your formula. It's not about the indicator. It's not about price per se. Even though I'm one of the greatest of all time to do that. Excluding nobody. The thing that matters most is holding. Like, when I go back to 2009, shout out to Art, when he told me to get Apple in 2009 and I didn't listen, like, the money that it cost me not listening in 2009 and 2010 is heartbreaking. So please put it in chat. Holding for a generation is the most important thing.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Splash, bro. Hold on, Trap, real quick. The Splash Brothers, they're going back and forth, man. Buckle your seatbelt. Please like the video. We got 7,100 people live on YouTube. Trap, you missed how we started. You missed how we started the show, Trap. Did you see how we started the show, Trap?
Nah, man, I was getting my thought out the pool, man.
Oh, man.
We had Usain Bolt and my boy Baby Shams. They came on and they we started the show.
I know, right?
Oh, it's epic, man. Listen, it's EYL, the biggest.
the big show. But not Trap. What was you getting ready to say, Trap?
I was about to say one thing is, when you're confused, do nothing.
Great point. Yep.
When you're confused, do nothing. Like, that helps you. That saves you mistakes. When you're confused, do nothing. The second thing is, yo, the greatest investors understand the importance of time horizon. Mm-hmm. Right? The greatest investors understand the importance of time horizon, yo. And it's being able to hold great companies for long periods of time. If you can understand that methodology, if you can understand that concept, if people be like, Trap, man, you don't do this, you don't do that. Of course I do. Like, I do a lot of stuff. But the reason why buy and hold is the most important strategy for me is simple. Over the long term, this will close the generational gap for me. This will make sure that not only I'm wealthy, but my kid is wealthy, my kid's kids is wealthy. This will buy back their freedom. Generational freedom is what I like to say, right? You own great businesses that aren't going nowhere, that can produce profits over the long term, that can scale their business, that can expand their moat. They'll be here. They'll be here. We turn a one-time transaction into a lifetime of profit. It's simple. Mm-hmm. We turn a one-time transaction into a lifetime of profit, y'all.
That's a big part. Like, they made buy and hold unsexy because it was actually a strategy for conquerors and kings.
That's a fact.
Like, if we want to speak out, like, if Target, I want you guys to put in chat, when was Target, when was the date of the Target IPO? You wouldn't think it. All-time return on Target, 21,000%.
Mm-hmm.
Buy and hold is not deemed to be sexy, though, because they know most people want to just flip enough to then go on vacation, take some out to date, maybe knock it down if you get lucky, right? But when you truly are trying to build for somebody that you love or a family that you love, you want to have these in. But I'm going to be like, people that are wealthy or rich, they don't go out and tell their secrets. Mm. They demonize that shit and make it look so boring that you won't ever want to touch it.
Yeah.
That's the illusion. And then if I get you to chase this small gain, because 500% sounds like a lot if the benchmark is 7 to 12%, but then go look at what the returns were for Buffett and Peter Lynch. And some of these guys over a lifetime have knocked out 500,000%.
That's a fact.
What has Renaissance produced? Because I don't talk about him enough for a reason. What has Jim produced at Renaissance? And a medallion fund.
Mm.
They're producing tech gains. Like, their employees push to work there to be a part of the fund. Buy and hold is the wave, but they made you feel like it wasn't because it's not the sexy thing to do, but that was intentional. But y'all can do whatever y'all want to do.
Hold the door.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.